Good evening. Welcome to the West End Church of Christ. This is the end of our first quarter, and we generally get together at the end of the first quarter, but under the circumstances we've under, this is the best we can do, that we're having a lesson this evening. Participating will be myself, Brother Jim Holton will be leading us in singing. Brother David will be leading us with our lessons. And Brother Jim Whiteside is having to stay home with his wife Donna at this time, or he would be here also. So we realize that we're under different times at this time, and we pray that our members will bear with us. We as elders are trying to do the best that we can do with the efforts that we have. So we're glad to have each and every one that's listening in to us. So let us begin at this time with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the things that we have today, where we can come and be able to get to see our neighbors and our friends and those that are Christians that's able to listen in to us at this time. We're thankful for each of our members. We pray for each of our members. We realize this is a hard time for us not to be together as we are normally. And we also pray for all of those of our number that are elderly. We pray that they might remain safe, and we need to especially pray for our leaders at this time and the seriousness that they're under. We pray especially for our governor, and we pray especially for our president and vice president. And we also are really, really thankful for all the doctors and the nurses and the efforts that they're going through at this time, and the many, many hours that they're putting in to get through this period of time. We also pray if there's those that have the virus, we pray for your comforting hand on them. We pray for the families. We pray for our little ones. We also at this time don't want to overlook at the ones of our number that are with child at this time that are pregnant, that you would look over them and care for them and realize this is a hard time for them, and we pray that you would be with them. And Father in heaven, we pray now as we go through this service that you will be with us and help guide us, and the things that we do will be pleasing in your sight. And as always, we most thank you for sending Jesus. And this is our prayer in his name. Amen.
Good evening. It's good to have everybody with us tonight. We're going to sing a couple of songs. Before Johnny, we'll have a scripture reading for us, and then another song, and then David will bring us the lesson for tonight. So, I want to encourage everybody to really sing out. Moms and dads, really encourage you to encourage your young folks to sing out too, and let us hear God's being glorified through the songs that we sing tonight. Number 308, Where Love Is in the Home, we'll sing all three verses. Oh, so where love is in the home, there's happiness. Where love is in the home, there's joy. Though the fare may simple be, still it's very plain to see. Where love is in the home, there's joy. Where love is in the home, there's harmony. Where love is in the home, there's bliss. If advanced in age you be, you may call to memory. Where love is in the home, there's bliss. Where love is in the home, contentment reigns. Where love is in the home, there's peace. Gold and silver cannot buy what it takes to satisfy. Where love is in the home, there's peace. Next song will be from the supplemental song book, Savior and Friend. Toby, rest of the weary, joy of the sad, hope of the dreary, light of the glen, refuge from danger, strength to the end, home of the stranger, Savior and Friend. Wealth of the giving, heart of the kind, breath of the living, sight of the blind, path of the lowly, crown at the end, bread of the holy, Savior and Friend. Song of the sighing, lamp of the led, prayer of the dying, life of dead, be my endeavor unto the end. Love me forever, Savior and Friend. Now, Brother Johnny will have a scripture reading for us.
As we've ending the first quarter and entering into the second quarter, Brother Matt Mayo and myself will be teaching from the book of Romans. So for the reading tonight, I have chosen from the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 4. From the book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning with verse 4 through the end of the chapter. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, deliberately. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulations. Continuing steadfast in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not seek your mind on another. Do not seek your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you.
The invitation song that we'll sing tonight will be number 460 to get everyone to consider their individual lives and relationships with God. That'll be after David's lesson tonight. But right now we will sing number 77, Jesus, Let Us Come to Know You. We'll sing both verses of that song.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in you. Jesus, draw us ever nearer, hold us in your loving arms, wrap us in your gentle presence when the end comes. Bring us home.
Good evening. I wish I could say I'm glad to see you all tonight. I'm glad for those that are watching that you're able to see us. We wanted to try to be able to use this technology to reach out to the church here and try to continue as normally as we can in the classes that we teach. As Johnny mentioned, beginning on Sunday, we begin a new quarter, and so we'll have four new classes. Jim will say more about that in just a moment. One of the classes that will be taught is Romans. Johnny and Matt Mayo will teach that. Jim Holton and I are going to teach a class we call Bible FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions, and that is a class that is designed for people to submit questions to us that things they've always wondered about, have questions about, and so if you submit those questions to us, we'll put them in order and then try to answer those throughout the class. We've done this one other time before, and it was a great class. People got a lot out of it, including those who were teaching. And so we welcome you to come into that class and want you to know that we'll continue to receive questions throughout the quarter. But for those who can submit questions now, of course, that gives us more time to prepare and to answer all the questions that are given to us. This evening, I planned earlier to speak about some of the things we talked about in our spiritual leadership class this last quarter. I've been at home for several of the last few days because I'm able to work from home. The Justice Center is closed. Now it is closed, but very little. The courts couldn't do very much with in the ordinary way that we do things. We're having to do it electronically, and the Supreme Court of Kentucky has put some restrictions on us. So we're able only to do a limited amount. That doesn't mean I have nothing to do. I've been taking files home and working on them at home. And one of the things that I've, I don't sit and watch TV or anything like that, but I know that that is all over the news. What we're going through now with this virus that has swept the world, it's on the minds of everyone. The reason that I can't work in the normal way that I do, the reason that those of you who are watching, we can't do the things we normally do, can't go into a restaurant. So many things about our lives have changed. And so it gives us concern because what was normal for us is no longer normal. And so that gives us lots of concern for our families. Johnny mentioned in his prayer about doctors and nurses and the healthcare people that are in the healthcare industry, how thankful we are for them and how we pray for God's protection over them. We have lots of healthcare workers in our families, lots of healthcare workers in this church. And people that we know and we love. And they are working right in the middle of people who are ill. Locally, we've have had a limited number of coronavirus cases, but the number of cases are going up every day. And I remember when we heard about the first case, that was a little bit shocking. Now we're in double figures. And I anticipate that it will go higher. And the more that we see and learn and know about the coronavirus, the more concerned we get. What I've learned about it from what I have either seen on TV or read about is it's a disease. If we catch it, we have no defense in our bodies for it, like we ordinarily do for, say, influenza. Or certain strains of influenza, certainly, or other maladies that we might have and our body has developed a resistance to and our bodies fight it. But our bodies can't do that with coronavirus because we've not been exposed to it before. So it something we can't see, and people can be sick and not even know it, and then suddenly if they get very sick, it can be a disease that is lethal and can be lethal very quickly. So the more we know about it, the more it frightens us for the future. For parents, we're concerned about our kids. We're concerned about our grandchildren. We're concerned about our neighbors and our children's friends, our friends. And so it can be a frightening circumstance. It gives us fear. A sort of fear for what is in store for us, particularly with what we hear about how more it is more and it's going to peak and it'll be higher and higher figures. A.W. Tozer, who was a theologian in the first half of the 20th century, said, "A frightened world needs fearless Christians." So, after I thought about this, I decided that I would rather talk more about how we react, how we respond to fear. And so I want us to consider some passages of Scripture tonight, just several, not just about fear, how we respond to fear, but how we should hope. First of all, I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and read verse 6. We're going to read several verses about fear and then several verses about hope. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, this is at the end of Deuteronomy, and you'll remember that Joshua, this is after Moses has died and Joshua is preparing to lead the people of Israel. And so Joshua says to them, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Joshua was urging these people not to be afraid of those that were around them because the Lord was on their side. And he says, he will not fail you or forsake you. And so when we are in moments of fear, we've got to remember who our ally is. It is God Almighty. And it's an important thing for us to remember, not just at special times like this, but it's something we need to remember all of the time. In Psalm chapter 27, or I should say the 27th Psalm in verse 1, this is a Psalm of David. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This once again is David relying on the presence of the Lord, on the watch care of the Lord to take care of him and to protect him in times of trouble. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 when he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, what Paul was encouraging Timothy to do was not be afraid of the task that he was preparing to undertake, but to remember that God had given him protection. He would did not intend for him to be afraid, but to remember that he had power, he was loved, and he had a sound mind. He had been given these spiritual gifts that were going to enable him to prepare him for the task that he had. God was his ally. In Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1, there the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is a very short verse that I wrote a short article about a week ago that I call Good News for a Change. I think it was just good news, but it was good news for a change when we hear so much bad news. And this reminds us that God is our strength. And when it says he is a very present help in trouble, that tells us he is right there with us. He is going to protect us. And that doesn't always mean that we're going to be saved from every problem that we have, but that ultimately God will deliver us. And that is something that we need to remember. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 28, Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So when we are in times where we fear what may happen to our body or how someone may hurt us or how some disease may hurt us, we need to put things in perspective and remember to trust God, trust Christ Jesus, because the Lord is the one who can destroy both the body and the soul. And so the body in death and the soul in torment. So we need to remember that the Lord is our ally. Finally, I want to look at John chapter 14 and verse 27. Here in this passage, it's a wonderful passage, just before Jesus is preparing to go to Gethsemane. And in chapter 14 and in verse 27, John records that Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The kind of peace that Jesus was giving is not peace with men. He was giving peace with God. Oh, and that's so much more important. He was giving peace. He was going to heal the breach where sin separates us from God. And so that's the kind of peace that Jesus was giving. And he wasn't going to give it like the world does. He wasn't going to give it and then maybe take it away. But Jesus was giving it, and then he would not take it back. It's given based on our obedience to him. And so long as we are obedient to him, then he will protect us. But fear is not the only thing that I wanted to consider. I wanted us to think about response that we should have to fear, but I want to think about something else, and that is hope. The Bible says lots of things about hope. We're only going to mention a few. There's a whole lot more we could study about hope than what I intend to mention, but I think about this sometimes. What passage of Scripture gives me the greatest hope? There's lots of passages of Scripture about hope. But think about that. Think about one that may be your favorite, because that's going to be one that will encourage you most. Hope is something that has to do with things that are unseen, with things that are in the future. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, Paul writes to the church at Rome, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." You know, sometimes you can ask a child when it's around Christmas time if they're going to get a gift, what is it you want for Christmas? And they may say, "I hope I really get fill in the blank." Well, you know, they wouldn't say that if they already had one. You hope for what you don't have. Doesn't mean you're not going to have it. It means you just don't have it right now. And so here, that's what Paul means when he says, hope that is seen is not hope. Because if you can see it, then you got it. You're not hoping for it. You have it already. But hope is, you hope for what you do not have, what you do not see. With perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. And so, here, Paul is talking, or he's describing that hope is something that is out in the future. And of course, we're talking about hope of eternal salvation. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks to Titus about hope, and he describes it as the happy anticipation of something that is good. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago." God has revealed to us as much as he wishes to reveal to us what is in store for the obedient. Jesus talks about that in John 14. What is in store for those who are obedient? It is something that our imaginations are not rich enough to comprehend. And Paul talks, when he speaks with Timothy, he tells him that he is a bondservant for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life. That's what it's about. Which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God has promised it. It is something that we can hope for and with great anticipation. And it should drive us and motivate us to be who God wants us to be. In Titus chapter 3, you can turn over in your Bible another page, verses 5 through 7. It, once again, it describes the happy anticipation of that which is good. And so Paul says, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's something good for us to anticipate and to hope for. And it was part of Paul's message to the young preacher Titus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the very first verse of that book, Paul describes that hope is something that that is fixed upon an object. It describes the object upon which hope is fixed. And that may seem hard to understand, but we'll understand better when we read this verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Our hope is based on Christ. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who's the sacrifice for our sins. He is the one through which we have an avenue to the Father for eternal life. And so it describes the object upon which our hope is fixed. And of course, it is fixed on Christ Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the New Testament uses three different adjectives to describe hope. And the first that I want to mention is here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. There Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Hope is good. And that's why Paul uses this adjective to describe it. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1, or pardon me, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul uses the adjective blessed or blessed, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our glory, of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. It is a word to describe how awe-inspiring and how wonderful this hope is. And it's blessed. It's blessed by God. It is for us and blessed by God. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3, the New Testament uses the adjective living to describe hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope, not a dead hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. It's in Christ Jesus, and it's living because he is living. And that's an important thing for us to remember. This is something that the Lord has prepared for us, and it is beyond imagination. And it is something that should motivate us to be who he wants to be. It should motivate us to obey him. So what should I hope for? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter writes, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he appears, hope won't be hope any longer. It will be what we see. It will be real, and it will become ours. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, this is an important verse for us to consider. Paul describes that he had great confidence in the hope that he had. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." This is something that is not just for the special class. This is not something that is just for those who we read about a lot about in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul. Paul says it's not just for him, but also to all who have loved his appearing. For every single person that is obedient to him, who wants to see him, who obeys him and tries to live as the master teaches, those are the ones who will also be given that same crown of righteousness. It's a wonderful thought that Paul gives us, and he speaks about it with great confidence. Paul doesn't say something like, "Well, you know, I hope I get that. I don't know if I will, but I sure hope I'm lucky enough to have that." Paul speaks with great confidence, and we ought to have the same type of confidence. He had hope with confidence, and so should we. Paul fully expected resurrection and eternal life. We should too. This is an important thing to think about. It is not biblical for us to think of resurrection and eternal life as a long shot. This isn't a long shot. We don't serve a long shot God. We don't serve a long shot Savior. We serve one who's made promises and will make them come to pass. And so if we are obedient to Him, then He will deliver. As faithful Christians, we should expect resurrection and eternal life just as a farmer expects his crops to come out of the ground. Hope strengthens us. It is that hope of seeing that crop that causes the farmer to plant, and he does it with great expectation. And we should serve God in Christ Jesus the very same way, because God has promised. So, what passage of Scripture gives you the greatest hope? Hope's a wonderful subject. Hope is good for the soul right now. So what passage of Scripture gives you the greatest hope? Give some thought to that. I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions, but that's because they give me hope. They're good ones for me. You find your own. Look first of all in John chapter 14 and in verse 3. Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I go to prepare a place, but I'm coming back. And I'm coming back to get you and to take you with me to this special place I've prepared. Oh, brethren, that gives me hope. That gives me a great deal of hope. The Lord has promised. In the same chapter, in John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to his disciples, remember, this is as he's preparing to go to Gethsemane. He still has more to say to them, but he is preparing to go to Gethsemane. And so in verse 19, Jesus says, "After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also." That's a great passage of Scripture to give us hope. Jesus says, because I live, you will too. You'll live too. You know, for us to see him alive confirms what we have faith of, and that is that he is resurrected to life. And for those who aren't Christians, you just think about that, about Jesus. Do you believe he's resurrected from the dead? Is he the Son of God? You know, if you believe he resurrected from the dead, I don't see how you can believe anything else. That's just me thinking out loud. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you are thinking about becoming a Christian, and you want to talk about that with someone, call one of the elders here at West End. On our website, you'll be able to find us. Notify us. Talk to us about it. Jim's going to sing a song of invitation, but that really is designed to provoke people to think about that very thing. I want you to think about that. There is nothing more important than becoming a Christian. There's no greater decision in your lifetime than the decision of whether or not to become a Christian. Whether or not to become a Christian. And if you are a Christian and you think about your life, especially when we read all this bad news and that's in the media, and you think about how do I really stand before the Lord? You need to talk about that? Then contact us. Contact us. Because there would be nothing worse than for us to go into eternity unprepared to meet God. Thank you for being here this evening or watching this evening. Jim is going to lead us in this song, and we appreciate you being here in your mind and in your thoughts. Jim.
Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? How can we hope to help him and welcome his return?
As David said, if anybody needs to make any correction in their life, don't hesitate to give one of the elders a call. We've got our telephone numbers for you to be able to access anytime you need to be able to. And I think we've even got a slide that we might show at the end of the service here that we're having tonight, so that you'll be able to call any of us if you need to. Want to make a few announcements and kind of bring everybody up to speed with what's going on with this coming Sunday. And then Johnny will have a closing prayer after conclude those. First of all, what to expect for this Sunday, and most likely all of the Sundays through, and the midweek Bible studies too, through the rest of the course of the month of April, based on everything that we're hearing at the national level and also at the state level. So just be prepared for that. The good news is we have prepared for that. The teachers have all made preparations. We're getting ready for all of the classes. And as we have told you before, we'll have our 9 a.m. Bible classes. We'll have the K-6 materials that will be available. Hannah Ogden has done a lot of work on the lower grade classes, and putting some virtual material out there that you're able to access over the internet, and working with Brian Whiteside on that, and April Foster has also helped with that as well. We appreciate all those folks and the work that they've done for the K-6 classes. Also, we will have our middle school and high school classes that will continue on. You'll be receiving emails that will help you understand whether you are going to be participating in a Zoom class or in a Google Hangout class, and get all the details to be able to participate that way. Understand we had great participation last week for our middle school and high school classes. And then, of course, the adult classes, like we mentioned earlier, they are on the board there. Acts is Mike Thomas and L.R. Kennan. Romans is Johnny Montgomery and Matt Mayo. Glorifying God with Carol Duckworth and James McClenney, and then Frequently Asked Questions with David Lamphere, myself. And if you look at the class there, it tells who are the teachers for that class and the emails that you should email and say, hey, I'm going to be in the Acts class, I'm going to be in the Romans class, I'm going to be in the Glorifying God class or the FAQ class. And that way we'll know what format would be best to be able to deliver that class, whether it's going to be a pre-recorded class, whether we can do a Google Hangouts class, or if it will be also a Zoom class. So there are several different options. That's why it's important for everyone to try and let us know which one of those classes you'll be participating in. Also, remember to let folks know if they do not have access to the internet, if you talk to anybody and they don't have access to the internet and they would like to listen in on our services, we'll have one of the adult classes each Sunday morning that we will live stream. We may change that around. We'll see how that rolls as we move forward with the new classes in April. But we'll have one class that will be live streamed. And so they will be able to access the audio anyway, even if they don't have the internet, through WebEx. And let me give you that number one more time. It's 415-655-0003. And then the code for WebEx is 496-931-107 and then #. And for folks that need to, they can listen to one of the classes that way. Then we'll be back after our Bible study that morning with a 10 a.m. live feed service as we have over the last couple of weeks, and that will be the standard way that we will have our Sunday morning services. And then we'll have again a 5 p.m. live stream class again on our YouTube channel, and so Mike Thomas will have that presentation for us. And then we'll be back to our Wednesday night Bible studies next week, where we will be in our individual classes, and they'll be available on the church website and also on our YouTube channel. So we try to think of several ways that you can access the content that's being created, and we appreciate everybody and their commitment to wanting to be here. I know the elders have all received several comments from members about how much they appreciate everything and how it's coming together. And even though we're not able to be here in this building, like David said earlier, it's a little bit strange to be here in this big building that we normally see so many people that we love so much, and for all of us to not be here together. But it's also a great joy and pleasure to know that we are all getting together the very, very best way, as Johnny said, that we can right now. So we appreciate everybody being part of the Bible study, being part of the worship services that we're having on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Just a few more things. Dwayne Hudson's dad, Calvin, is being released from Sky on Thursday. And then he said Friday's his birthday and he turns 88. And I'm going to post his address on the Facebook page. So if anyone would like to be able to send him a card, that you can do that. Continue to keep Orby and Janet Massengill's grandson Tyler in your prayers, and all the ladies that are pregnant, April Foster, Danae Caldwell, Amber Caspery, and Jana Ross. We want to keep them in our prayers for them to be able to have safe pregnancies during all of this. And that's about it, really. We appreciate everybody being with us tonight. We are so fortunate. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to serve with Jim Whiteside and Johnny Montgomery and David Lamphere, and this is an unknown time that we've never experienced before. But I'm so encouraged by what David had to say tonight. It's so good to see David and Johnny, and I know it's good for y'all to see them too. And Johnny's going to come now and lead us in a closing prayer. Then we'll be back again together on Sunday morning. So Johnny's going to lead our prayer.
Those of you that know me know I've always got a little more to say than just prayer. A couple of things to remind you of. It was great for the 10 or 12 cars or how many there was that came by our house, and the young people hollering at us as we stood out on our front porch. That was great. Thank you very much for doing that. Another reminder along that line, texting is great, but we've got some elderly people who are shut in. They can't get out and go anywhere. Call them, and if you just have to say a few words of encouragement and give them encouragement, because this is going to go on for the rest of this month, the way I understand that their governor and the president's talking. So now we'll have a word of prayer. Thank you. Let us pray. As we come to you in prayer at the closing of this service, we're thankful for this opportunity where we can come and speak to our members. We pray at this time, especially for our sister Donna, as she's recovering. We also pray for Dwayne's father, Brother Calvin Hudson, and we also pray for little Tyler, your comfort hand on them. Our Father, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters, especially if there are those who are battling this virus, and we realize that there's flu and pneumonia. We pray for your comfort hand on them. We realize from our texts and with our brethren in Italy, we want to especially pray for them also. They in Italy have been hit real bad, and we pray for those also that they have the virus, that you comfort them. We also, as earlier, we want to keep reminding us of our nurses and our doctors and those in harm's way. We want to pray for my son and all those in the military as their duties are been upped and the things that they have to do. But as always, we have to realize that in the end, we know that you are in control, and we pray to you through our Savior Jesus as our mediator that you will remember us during this hard time, as I know you will. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.